In the sleepy town of Triple Falls, a young woman's quest for financial security becomes a dangerous game of love, betrayal, and revenge. Kate Stewart's Flock has captivated readers with its complex exploration of unconventional relationships and hidden agendas, earning it a devoted following among romance enthusiasts. This first installment in the Ravenhood trilogy has been praised by celebrities like Sarah Jessica Parker for its unpredictable plot twists and emotional depth. What begins as a simple summer job becomes a labyrinth of secrets that challenges everything the protagonist thought she knew about love, loyalty, and her own identity. As Stewart herself notes, "I wanted to write something that would make readers question their own boundaries and beliefs about relationships." In a genre often criticized for predictability, Flock stands as a testament to how romance can push literary boundaries while exploring the darker aspects of human connection. Cecilia Horner arrives at her estranged father Roman's sprawling estate with a clear mission: endure a year working at his manufacturing plant to secure her inheritance and provide financial stability for her beloved mother. The contrast between her free-spirited mother who raised her and her cold, calculating father couldn't be more stark. Roman Horner is all business, a sub-zero personality with a critical tongue who has been nothing more than a monetary provider throughout Cecilia's life. The mansion feels like a prison, a museum-like structure where Roman doesn't even bother to welcome his daughter. The pristine grounds and stark white bedroom assigned to Cecilia only amplify her sense of isolation. During a phone call with her best friend Christy, who's furious about their separation and abandoned summer plans, Cecilia explains her sacrifice. "I have to do this for Mom. She's given me everything. I can give her this." Her shifts at the plant will run from 3 to 11, starting with orientation the next day. As she surveys her temporary home from the balcony, Cecilia feels the weight of her commitment. For a year, she'll be trapped in this cold place with a father who's a stranger, working a job she never wanted, all to secure her mother's future. The sacrifice feels enormous, but her determination remains unshaken. She's always been the responsible one in her relationship with her mother, a role reversal that has defined her character: cautious, controlled, and willing to put others' needs before her own. This sense of duty will soon collide with unexpected desires and dangerous secrets, testing Cecilia's carefully constructed identity and forcing her to question whether she truly knows herself at all. Cecilia's orientation at her father's plant marks the beginning of her transformation. After nearly arriving late, she makes a bold introduction. "I'm Cecilia, not like the song, new in town. I'm just going to clear the air now and let you know my father owns this place, but I want no special treatment." Her candid approach, including a joke about not reporting extra cigarette breaks or afternoon delights in the janitor's closet, doesn't impress HR representative Jackie Brown, but it catches the attention of someone behind her. That someone is Sean Roberts, whose amused hazel eyes and impressive build immediately draw Cecilia's interest. Their chemistry is instant, marked by playful banter and lingering glances. This connection deepens at a party where Cecilia meets more of her coworkers, including the protective Lila and the flirtatious Marine Tyler. When Sean interrupts Tyler's advances, calling him Jar Dick and positioning himself between them, his possessiveness is both surprising and thrilling. The party takes a dramatic turn when Dominic, referred to as the Wolf by Sean, approaches. With intense silver-gray eyes and long onyx hair, Dominic immediately establishes himself as an authority figure, publicly humiliating Cecilia by pointing out she's Roman Horner's underage daughter and shouldn't be drinking. Her defiant response, finishing her drink and dropping the bottle at his feet while calling him an arsehole, sets the tone for their contentious relationship. As Sean carries her away from the confrontation, he reveals a crucial detail. Her father employs nearly half the people at that party. This simple statement underscores Cecilia's complicated position, both privileged and resented, connected to everyone, yet fundamentally alone. The wind in her hair during their drive home and the promising looks between them suggest possibilities, but the shadow of her father's influence and Dominic's hostility looms large. These initial encounters establish the central triangle that will define Cecilia's summer: her growing attraction to the charming, accessible Sean, her complicated fascination with the intimidating, mysterious Dominic, and her struggle to define herself apart from her father's reputation in a town where his presence touches everything. Cecilia's decision to embrace risk begins with a symbolic act of rebellion, making a cannonball into her father's perfectly maintained pool, disrupting the ordered surface with chaotic ripples. "I decide to say yes more often," she reflects, trading safe choices for real experiences during this year of confinement. This newfound philosophy quickly manifests when Sean arrives in swimming trunks, revealing a physique that leaves her breathless. Golden skin, perfect muscles, and a striking raven tattoo that will later take on profound significance. Their poolside flirtation crackles with sexual tension. When Sean pulls her close, his breath hot against her skin, Cecilia experiences the thrill of stepping outside her comfort zone. Their moment is interrupted by an approaching car, but not before Sean reveals he drove her car over, claiming locksmith skills from his garage work. This casual demonstration of breaking into her car should serve as a warning, but instead, it only intensifies her attraction to his mysterious capabilities. Cecilia's first day at Horner Tech further illustrates her changing perspective. The mind-numbing quality control work convinces her not to waste her college opportunity, while her gossipy coworker, Melinda, provides warnings about Sean and his friends, especially the Frenchman, Dominic. According to small-town rumors, their trouble, fast cars, parties, drugs, and they supposedly share women. Melinda even shows a picture of her cousin's goddaughter, who was allegedly heartbroken by one of them. Rather than heeding these warnings, Cecilia finds herself increasingly intrigued. This pattern continues when Sean invites her to King's Automotive, where she encounters Dominic smoking a joint. Despite his attempts to turn her away, insisting she doesn't belong here, Cecilia stands her ground. She even takes a hit from his joint, choking on it to prove herself, explaining she needs friends while stuck in town. Her surprising use of French, referencing his nickname, creates a moment of connection, despite his resistance. Each of these interactions represents Cecilia diving deeper into potentially dangerous waters, ignoring warning signs in favor of the exhilaration of new experiences. Her controlled exterior begins to crack as she discovers parts of herself previously unexplored. A desire for risk, a willingness to challenge authority, and a growing attraction to not just one, but two complicated men. Sean's philosophy of living in the now time becomes a seductive alternative to Cecilia's carefully planned existence. During a hike up the mountain, when she checks her watch, concerned about a later dinner with Roman, Sean delivers a shocking lesson about being present. He destroys her Apple Watch under his boot. While this controlling gesture should raise red flags, Cecilia instead finds herself drawn to his radical approach to life. "The sadder truth," Sean tells her, "is that the only way to conquer the fear of dying is by dying." His rejection of social media and technology stems from a deeper belief that authentic experience matters more than documentation or future planning. As they continue hiking, Sean reveals his self-proclaimed superpower is reading people and anticipating what they want, a skill he demonstrates repeatedly in his interactions with Cecilia. Their connection deepens when they reach a private waterfall with a cave behind it, where Sean has prepared a birthday picnic. In this secluded paradise, Cecilia begins to let her guard down, sharing her hesitation about dating after being cheated on, while Sean reveals details about his manipulative ex, Bianca. When she mentions being warned about him, he dismissively says, "Melinda only knows what she thinks she knows," foreshadowing the layers of deception yet to be revealed. This philosophy of living in the moment extends to their physical relationship. After their picnic, when Cecilia wakes before Sean and boldly initiates intimacy, he responds with enthusiasm, "Took you long enough," before pleasuring her expertly. His insistence that today is about you and confession that with her he's feeling a little selfish in a way that's a very bad thing hints at deeper complications, but in the moment, Cecilia is too captivated to notice. Their relationship intensifies over the following weeks, with Sean demonstrating constant affection in both public and private settings. At a laundromat, he explains that happiness is a decision, using the example of an elderly woman named Selma who makes tortillas with a smile despite her difficult circumstances. This philosophy, embracing the present moment, finding joy in simplicity, rejecting societal norms, becomes increasingly appealing to Cecilia, who has spent her life planning and being responsible. What she doesn't yet understand is how this seductive philosophy also serves as the perfect cover for deception. By focusing only on the present, she misses crucial clues about Sean's past and his true motivations. The freedom he offers comes with hidden costs she cannot yet comprehend. As Cecilia becomes more deeply involved with Sean, disturbing incidents begin to accumulate. During a visit to his house, she accidentally encounters Dominic sleeping naked across the hall. Unable to look away from his muscular body, she's frozen in place until his silver eyes meet hers and she realizes he's become aroused. This moment of unwanted attraction fills her with guilt, especially when Dominic later confronts her in the kitchen, forcing her hand against his erection and cruelly suggesting Sean isn't truly her boyfriend. When Sean arrives, Dominic immediately tells him Cecilia touched him inappropriately and watched him sleep. Rather than defending her, Sean orders her to stand your ground with him early or he'll walk all over you, displaying a militant tone that unsettles her. During dinner, Dominic provokes her relentlessly while Sean barely intervenes, calling it a test of wills that he hopes she'll win. This dynamic reveals the first major cracks in her relationship with Sean. His unwillingness to protect her from Dominic's cruelty suggests a complicated alliance between the men that supersedes his feelings for her. The situation at work adds another layer of complication when chaos erupts after Vivica, a coworker, publicly confronts Cecilia about being Roman's daughter. Vivica waves her short pay stub, accusing Roman of systematically cheating workers of overtime pay for years. He's been doing this for years, screwing us on our overtime, shorting our checks just enough so we don't raise too much hell. This revelation forces Cecilia to confront her father's corrupt business practices and her own unwitting complicity in a system that exploits workers. Her growing suspicions about Sean and his friends intensify when she witnesses their involvement in what a woman at a party calls a club gathering. The event features dangerous racing on back roads, mysterious tattoos that mark membership, and violent confrontations. When Dominic viciously attacks another driver after finding damage to his car, Cecilia sees a completely different side to the man she's growing attracted to. In the aftermath, Sean cryptically explains that she's witnessing something that doesn't exist, a secret society where nothing can be discussed because it never happened. When police lights appear behind them and Sean evades rather than stopping, the terrifying reality dawns on Cecilia. These men are outlaws involved in criminal activities. Sean presents her with a stark choice: walk away, knowing nothing incriminating, or stay and slowly earn answers like everyone else with the raven tattoo. Despite these warning signs, Cecilia's desire for both men continues to grow, creating a web of attraction, suspicion, and mounting danger from which she seems increasingly unable to extricate herself. Cecilia's relationship with Sean and Dominic evolves into something she never imagined possible, a polyamorous arrangement that both thrills and confuses her. After Sean confronts her about her obvious attraction to Dominic, he delivers a brutally honest speech. "I respect you enough to give you choices rather than deny what I've observed." He admits that her consideration of being with both men excites him, while emphasizing the choice is always hers. Despite her initial shock and hurt, Sean's passionate declaration that he caught feelings for her immediately helps overcome her resistance. Their unconventional relationship begins at a lake, where Cecilia surrenders to desire as a storm approaches. The three move in perfect synchronicity, Dominic watching her every reaction while Sean drives her to ecstasy. Afterward, she grapples with conflicting emotions. Though she chose this arrangement and wanted it, she fears facing regret. Sean gently reassures her, "Don't, baby. We'll talk when you're ready." He encourages her to own it without shame, promising she'll never lose him over what happened. As their arrangement continues, Cecilia finds herself living between two worlds, sunny days with Sean and rainy days with Dominic, falling deeply in love with both men despite her lingering moral doubts. Sean represents warmth, affection, and philosophical freedom, while Dominic offers intensity, intellectual connection, and mysterious depth. With Sean, she explores the outdoors, discusses living in the moment, and experiences constant physical affirmation. With Dominic, she discovers shared literary interests, spending hours reading together during storms and connecting on an intellectual level that surprises her. The contrast between the men becomes apparent in their intimate moments. Sean is openly affectionate, constantly touching her in public and private, claiming her daily without caring what others think. Dominic remains more reserved, though capable of surprising tenderness, such as when Cecilia discovers he's purchased all her favorite romance novels, a silent acknowledgement of his interest in understanding her better. This intoxicating arrangement comes with mounting complications. Cecilia struggles with guilt about wanting them both, questioning her own morality while simultaneously embracing new aspects of herself. She begins learning more about their secret operations. Tyler is the friar who distributes money that Dominic steals from corrupt corporations to help local businesses. Their Robin Hood-like activities add another layer of complexity to her feelings, as she finds herself sympathizing with their cause, even while recognizing its illegality. The forbidden nature of these desires, both the polyamorous relationship and her involvement with criminals, creates an addictive cycle that pulls Cecilia deeper into their world, blinding her to the dangers that lie ahead and the true motivations that might be driving both men's interest in her. After days of silence and unanswered texts from both men, Cecilia finally drives to the garage, cycling through worry, confusion, and anger. Finding several cars outside, including Sean's and Dominic's, she's initially relieved to hear laughter and music inside. But her relief turns to horror when she realizes they're playing Afternoon Delight, followed by Cecilia by Simon and Garfunkel, songs clearly chosen to mock her. The humiliation is overwhelming as she realizes she's been played, her entire relationship with both men apparently a calculated deception. The garage is full of people witnessing her public humiliation as she breaks down sobbing. Every beautiful moment they shared now feels like a lie. She'd given them her heart and trust, only to be discarded like nothing. Through her tears, she sees confusion and pity on the faces of others, especially Tyler. When Sean steps toward her, Dominic stops him with an amused expression. Before she flees, she glimpses Sean punching Dominic in the jaw, a small suggestion that perhaps not everything was as it seemed. 2 weeks after this devastating incident, staying with her friend Christy in Atlanta, Cecilia tries to process what happened. Though part of her recognizes Sean's fight with Dominic suggests he might not have fully supported the public humiliation, she can't forgive his cowardice. The most disturbing realization is that despite everything, she still wants them both. She still loves them. Her self-disgust is tempered by a growing desire for revenge. She believes their affection couldn't have been completely fabricated. Something must have happened to make them carry out such a brutal plan. For the first time, she takes comfort in being her father's daughter, capable of the same coldness. "I realize I need to kick and pull myself to safety now, too. I'm thinking I forgot who the fuck I am." The betrayal takes on new dimensions when Sean later reveals the truth behind their deception. During a confrontation at the plant, he confesses, "You are the secret." He explains that Dominic's parents were French immigrants who died in a suspicious fire at the plant years ago, a tragedy her father allegedly covered up. Their plan involves exposing Roman's corruption and monopolistic control over Triple Falls, with Cecilia initially serving as the way to get in, infiltrate his house. Though Sean insists his feelings became real, I love you, and I've been in love with you since this started, the revelation that their relationship began as a calculated move in a revenge plot shatters what little trust remained. This devastating betrayal forces Cecilia to question everything she thought she knew about both men and herself. Were any of their moments genuine? Was she truly loved, or merely a pawn in their game? The answers prove more complicated than she initially believed, setting the stage for her own transformation from victim to active participant in the dangerous game that continues to unfold. In the aftermath of betrayal, Cecilia begins a profound transformation. No longer willing to remain a pawn in someone else's game, she starts researching ravens, discovering telling parallels to the Ravenhood organization. A group of ravens is called a conspiracy, the irony not lost on me, she reflects. Ravens band together as rebellious teenagers until they eventually mate out, and they mate for life. These insights help her understand the dynamics she witnessed, including the permanent wing tattoos that marked women as belonging to the group. Her research reveals ravens as incredibly intelligent birds, which explains the calculated moves made regarding her. Dominic and Sean have preached that knowledge is power, and Cecilia realizes she needs to outsmart them or prove her value with secrets of her own. Her first epiphany comes when she realizes their meeting spot is actually in her backyard, hidden by taking her the long way around, a manipulation that fuels her determination to get answers. Rather than remaining passive, Cecilia devises a plan. She sets up a powerful sound system, blasting music into the woods for hours, hoping to draw them out. "I refuse to remain a pawn in their game any longer," she resolves. "After being kept in the dark and crippled by their secrets, I need to take control." This active stance represents a significant evolution from the cautious, rule-following girl who arrived at her father's estate at the beginning of summer. Her plan succeeds, though not exactly as expected. Instead of Sean or Dominic, she attracts a man in a tailored black suit with raven black hair and fiery amber eyes, someone she immediately recognizes as the Frenchman, a figure whose identity reveals how utterly blind she's been to the true nature of the conspiracy surrounding her. This final revelation completes Cecilia's transformation from naive outsider to active participant in the dangerous game that has consumed Triple Falls. The wallflower, who once observed life from the sidelines, has become a central player, willing to take risks and face consequences. Though deeply wounded by betrayal, she emerges stronger, more determined, and with eyes finally open to the complex web of revenge, love, and power that has ensnared her. As she faces this new figure, Cecilia stands at a crossroads, no longer Roman Horner's obedient daughter, no longer Sean and Dominic's unwitting pawn, but a woman coming into her own power, ready to write the next chapter of her story on her own terms. The girl who arrived in Triple Falls, seeking only to secure her inheritance, has discovered something far more valuable: her own capacity for resilience, passion, and the courage to face uncomfortable truths both about those she loves and about herself. Cecilia's journey through love, betrayal, and self-discovery reveals the complex interplay between truth and deception that defines human relationships. Throughout her time in Triple Falls, she encounters layers of lies, from her father's systematic exploitation of workers to Sean and Dominic's calculated seduction as part of a revenge plot. Yet within these deceptions lie kernels of truth that complicate easy moral judgments. When Sean confesses that Cecilia was the secret, explaining their initial interest in her as a means to infiltrate her father's world, he also insists his feelings became genuine, a claim supported by his violent reaction to her public humiliation. Similarly, Dominic's cryptic statement during their confrontation in the parking lot, "Everything I do now, it's for you," suggests his motivations have evolved beyond simple revenge against Roman Horner. The revelation about Roman's role in the suspicious fire that killed Dominic's parents adds another dimension to the story. While Cecilia initially views herself as the victim of Sean and Dominic's manipulation, she must confront the possibility that her father's actions set these events in motion years ago. This forces her to question where her loyalties should lie, with the father who provided financially but remained emotionally distant, or with the men who deceived her but may have legitimate grievances against Roman. Even Cecilia's relationship with her mother contains elements of deception. She has played the role of responsible caretaker rather than daughter, maintaining a facade of strength while sacrificing her own desires. Her decision to work at Roman's plant stems from this dynamic, a year of servitude to secure her mother's financial future. Yet this sacrifice, born of genuine love, leads her into a web of lies that forever alters her understanding of herself. The most profound deception may be the one Cecilia practices on herself. Her self-image as a cautious, stay-in-the-lines kind of girl prevents her from recognizing her own capacity for risk and passion until circumstances force her to confront these aspects of her personality. When she finally declares, "I'm thinking I forgot who the fuck I am," she acknowledges both the self-deception that made her vulnerable and the self-awareness that will help her survive. As the story concludes with Cecilia facing the Frenchman, readers understand that unraveling the complete truth will require following the threads of deception to their source. Some lies protect while others destroy. Some truths heal while others wound. In this morally ambiguous landscape, Cecilia must learn to distinguish between them if she hopes to emerge not just alive, but whole.